This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
That's Arthi.
That's Noor.
And you're listening to The Reality Is.
You guys, I'm so excited for today's episode because, well, not because Arthi's not here, but as a result of Arthi not being here, which I'm sad about, but as a result of Arthi not being here, I have a substitute. And you might know her as the host of What Else Is Going On, but you'd also know her from Twitter and Instagram as the lady with the hottest takes, Taria Faison. How are you today?
I could kiss you for that, Noor. Thank you so much for having me. Arthi, we miss you, but I'm glad I'm here.
Yeah, she's missed. Sorry, you had to go and do work stuff.
Right, Arthi, like, who cares about work?
Yeah, rude. Anyway, but thank you so much for subbing in as my Arthi today, Taria. We are super excited because we also have a guest on today's episode. You might know him as Charlie. I know him as OB, but everybody knows him as the host of the Odd Black Individual podcast. So hi, how are you, OB?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm so happy that you both are here. I'm so excited because I've been wanting, I think, like, OB, you and I have been exchanging messages for a while, and I really wanted you on the podcast. Right. So I'm just super excited because, you guys, if you haven't heard OB's takes, I mean, you're really missing out because there's a lot of basic bitches on the internet with really dumb takes.
Yes, ma'am.
And like,
indeed.
Whenever I read anything you post or whenever I listen to your podcast, it's like, man, he really nailed it. Like, he hit the nail on the head from the perspective of non-basic bitches, right? to people of color. Yes. And like, just generally, like, marginalized people. I mean, some of the stuff that you did on Real Housewives of Potomac, talking about massage and noir and all this stuff, I was just like, this is the most amazing overviews of like deeply rooted issues that we see on how housewives are responded to by the overall audience, but also how producers and even some of the housewives themselves craft the story to kind of push some of these underlying issues that we have in our society. So I love your stuff. So thank you so much.
Oh my God. Thank you so much.
Obi is absolutely wonderful. I have to say, I was talking about Obi about 2 weeks ago to someone because we were talking about people when they have your back, right? So I would always say I wasn't really used to people having my back. Like, they would, after an argument or disagreement, they would come to me and say, oh my God, you were so right. But I just felt like I should stay out of it. And there's been a couple instances, and I know Obi knows, that people have tried to publicly kind of come at me, and Obi will take what they've tried to come at me with and flip it right around on them. And I literally said to someone, if I don't know about anyone, Obi will like, and make it very clear that, oh yeah, I'm talking about Taria, and what you're not going to say is.
Yeah.
It's so refreshing. And I admire that too, because now I'm trying to do that more for my friends. You know what I mean? Like, even if it's just be like, nah, we're not gonna, that's not what we're getting ready to do. Or just go balls to the wall like Obi. I admire that so much.
Oh my God. You guys are not going to make me choke up right now. Okay. This has to stop. You are being far too kind.
Okay. Well, we'll stop being kind to you. Because the next question I'm going to ask you, as usual, like we always like to ask any first time guest, Obi, you have to tell us, who is your problematic favorite on reality TV?
On all of reality TV?
Okay.
Or should I stick to Housewives?
Let's do Bravo.
All of Bravo. Okay.
All of Bravo.
Who do I like that people really can't stand?
You better say the right thing, Obi.
Well, I've said before, Candace Dillard Bassett is my favorite housewife of them all.
Yeah.
And many people find her problematic. I do not, but a lot of people do for various reasons. So I guess she would be my problematic fave.
Yeah. You know what? I think that Candace is up there now for me too. I think she is also one of my problematic favorites because I don't know, just there's just something really relatable about her to me. Like, I feel mm-hmm. like I would be friends with her in real life.
Mm-hmm. It's because all three of us are intelligent people and she's a really intelligent person. So I feel like we all would mesh with her. I think we would get her.
Yes. Yeah.
She's also somebody who we have to remember is like growing on TV also. So like,
right.
People forget how young she is and people give a lot of space to Ashley for being a young person, they don't allow the same space to Candace. And we could probably tell you why that is.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, we definitely could.
We definitely could. Although her coworkers think the exact opposite. And I was very disappointed in Robin and Giselle. Did you see that, y'all?
Oh, those two dummies.
Yes. Oh, God. Okay. So what we're talking about is colorism. The reason why, I mean, I think this is true. The reason why a lot of people give space to Ashley, but not to Candace, they give her a lot of grace, even though Ashley's married to a fucking predator.
The predator of them all.
The predatorist of them all. And the reason why is because Ashley is a light-skinned woman. And, you know, I know, Obi, you've spoken about that at length. But unfortunately, somebody who asked Robin and Giselle, like,
It was the Jasmine brand. They were doing
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So they asked Giselle and Robin about it. And they were like, no, we get hate all the time when we're light skinned women. And it was like, OK, but that's not the question.
Yes. And people reflect back to the reunion. Wendy and Candace gave specific instances what was in their messages. And Giselle started out with, no, that's so stupid.
And you know, it's a shame because Giselle has darker skinned daughters.
Yes, she does.
Yep. I think about that all the time.
Yep.
The kind of baggage that those girls are going to end up dealing with because of their complexion. And then their mother is apparently not going to understand at all.
Because,
you know, she gets plenty of hate, quote unquote, for fighting with other light skinned black women.
Right.
Like, it's not the same.
I can't. Well, do you think that there's some of that in play in New York and how people have received Brashan? I mean, not even people, but how the fucking cast themselves have received Brashan versus Ebony? Because we're going to jump right into Real Housewives of New York this week.
Oh,
it
boy.
Oh, God. We are front and center to just the most hypocrisy I've ever seen. I mean, between New York and Beverly Hills, my God. So the episode started with where we left off last week, which was the fight in Salem at the Bizarro Tattoo Parlor / dinner restaurant / magic shop. I don't know what this
Man,
is.
Man, that was janky.
So janky.
Like, I would not want that to be my Salem experience at all.
Also, I would never get a tattoo there. I want a tattoo, but I would never get my first tattoo at a place where they're also like serving burrata. Like, I don't know about that.
It's like the brownstone of tattoo shops. They do everything there.
Okay, as somebody who has frequented the brownstone quite regularly, you know, it's not a bad place.
I've heard that it's pretty decent, but I mean, still, I don't think top of the line quality when I think of the brownstone.
No. You know?
It's serviceable, but you know.
Yes. You can get service for multiple things at the brownstone, though. We do know that if you want to host a wedding or put a hit out on someone, the brownstone.
Oh boy.
get a character reference. Right. Get a character reference.
Yes.
Well, so they're at this tattoo place and they're picking up on this conversation where we picked up last week, which was, you know, Ebony's trying to talk to these women about whether or not they align with white supremacy. Now, before I get into my analysis of this, I have to say, Taria, your episode with Jonathan Chandler, you guys did such a great job of like critiquing Ebony for the things that are frustrating you about her while also being like, here's the reason why, as a housewife or as an entertainer, as a reality TV star, especially in this franchise, it's not really working. And I have to quote my friend Ray Sani on this. Whenever she posts any critique of Ebony, she goes, white people are not allowed to like this.
Yes. because people have been posting stuff. I feel like as Black people, and tell me if you guys agree, Obi, and as a woman of color, Nora, tell me if you agree. Sometimes you want to protect them because we already know what they're going to face straight up off the gate anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
So sometimes you don't want to speak on stuff, but then there's things that we do need to speak up on.
Yeah. I mean, you know, even if you think about what as recent as like, what, like an hour ago?
Yes.
Crystal from Beverly Hills posted this terrible DM that it's just like, it's like an insane, it's such an insane DM that I'm like, is this fake? Like, obviously it's not because right. we know racists like that exist, but it's so bananas to me that somebody would decide to post or to message somebody who they don't know, who yeah. even in the message they say they don't want to know, something this vile. We have to be mindful. And again, I know the housewives are doing their thing. They're not our best and brightest people in society. So they're going to do what they do. But at the same time, I blame Bravo for this, right? Because the stories that are being carved out, mm-hmm. what the editors decide to keep, what they decide to remove, how they navigate social media with these people, how they deal with their talent, they're really to blame on how these people are portrayed. And so it's like you said, it's like sometimes you want to protect your person who looks like you, who represents yeah. you, because you're like, I don't want to say something and have a bunch of bigots use my criticism, my valid criticism of this person as a way to be racist. It's like, yeah. how do you protect that person from that, you know?
And then also too, it's funny with the message with Crystal, it was ironic to me, the amount of allies that were so upset and had so much energy for this. When we know you don't get to that type of message from 0 to 100, mm-hmm. it starts with microaggressions, macroaggressions, white fragility. It starts with like what Sutton did to Crystal in the beginning. But see, they don't want to talk about that. They want to go to Crystal calling Sutton manic. They want to go to Crystal being dismissive of Sutton. But see what happens when you let that stuff go. So any allies that are listening, and I'm just going to say it, if you have said, oh, Crystal should just pull back. Crystal should just change her word. Crystal should just let the mouse go. You're in essence doing what Sutton did in the beginning, which leads up to the message that Crystal got today.
Yeah. You know, as soon as Sutton said, I don't want to talk about race, she suddenly had millions of bigots align with yeah. her and say, yeah, that's the girl that we want to be siding with. The one that is all lives matter.
Yeah.
Our Southern Belle.
Yes.
Miss Scarlett O'Hara. Sutton Strack.
Okay, I have to say, Sutton drives me crazy, but I love watching her like lose her shit. Like there's something.
Oh, I do too.
I love it. I love it so much.
I was just so annoyed that they kept wanting Crystal to apologize for saying manic, and they tried to equate it to Sutton talking about her dad. When Crystal was trying to talk about her dad's experience and almost being beat up at a gas station, but she couldn't even talk about her experience.
Yeah, go figure.
Go figure. And I'm
the irony.
And I'm so disappointed in Garcelle. Not that it's Garcelle's job to necessarily back a woman of color, but it is because you talked about it happening to you. Imagine if people had said to Garcelle, why did you say that to Kyle? But we received that, right? We were like, you know what? Even if we didn't think Kyle was being racist, she's got a point. But Garcelle can't receive Crystal.
I think Garcelle is trying to protect her friend because, you know, supposedly she and Sutton are besties or whatever.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel the same way about them as I do about Ebony and Leah in that it's getting kind of annoying that you're checking everyone but your friend.
Yes.
Yes.
Who may be the most problematic of everyone in the group.
The most. Leah is, this was an episode where I was like, oh, okay, Leah's a fucking monster. And Ebony, rather than standing with Rashawn, who has a valid fucking point, because guess what, guys? Sonia is a clown. Okay. Sonia is a clown.
Dun, 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 dun.
By the way, Nora has the best laugh. I can tell.
She does.
Doesn't she have the best? I love it.
Oh, you guys.
Because you laugh from your belly and it lets me know that you're getting joy and it makes me laugh too.
Sometimes at the end of podcasting sessions, I'm sweating from laughing so hard.
Can I just interject real quick and say, guys, if you haven't gone back and listened to their episode last week, Obi, I know you probably heard it when Nora talked about Pat the Puss and Artie could not catch her breath. I went back four times to listen to that, laughing at you both. I had tears coming out of my eyes each time. I could not stop laughing.
It was hilarious.
I was like, this is like amazing.
I believe it's like episode 70 or so.
Yeah, it was so good.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate that. You know, as somebody who grew up always being told that you laugh too loud, stop it.
Me you too.
You guys too. Has your mom ever asked you guys, are you hard of hearing because you talk loud? No, I'm just.
No, because my mother is really loud too. My mother's louder than me. But other people, definitely.
Yeah, I've been told all the time, like, stick your teeth back in your mouth. You're laughing too hard. And I'm like,
aww.
Well, you have beautiful teeth. Smile. Right. I was going to say, right.
Wow. Oh man. But back to Sonia on her clown shit. One of the things, so we start off with this conversation of Ebony trying to somehow talk to Ramona like she's a person with any fucking sense. Like she's
right.
not.
Right.
You know, Bershon steps in and says, this isn't going anywhere and this isn't like worth your time, right? It's not, you're talking to a wall. And Ebony says, I've done this for years, okay? I know how to deal with this.
I'm classically trained. Whatever the hell that means. Are you a pianist?
Do you get a certificate when you work at Fox News? Like, what? But right? She says, I did this at Fox News for years. And I think that that's something important to remember because Ebony thinks that, and you know, she might be right. She believes as a person of color that she needs to enter into spaces that where not everybody agrees with her because she thinks that it's more productive than to live in your own echo chambers. Sure. We heard her say that on Clubhouse a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
And I understand that, but working at Fox News doesn't actually feel productive because who watches Fox News? And the people that watch Fox News, did their minds change about Black Lives Matter, about immigration?
No. Ebony didn't change a single mind of the bigoted people that she worked with at Fox News, which is why I don't really understand why she keeps citing it as like some reason to be on this crusade that she's on.
Right. I feel like she's trying to say, oh, I can handle these women, which handling them and changing their minds are two different things.
Yes. Yes. Very different things. Yes.
And like you said, Noor, I don't, at first I would be like, oh, maybe. Okay. I liked The Night in Harlem with Ebony K. Williams. I thought and that was the night to talk about that because it is your night. You're showing them Harlem.
Yes.
Yes. There were other times when I felt like, oh, maybe not now. But then I will say we read Brian Moylan's Vulture piece, and then I read her response back and I stepped back for a minute and said, OK, who am I to tell her as a Black woman and I'm Black, don't show up Black. So show up in Black spaces. And I'm even trying to do that more in my life. How and ever, I also have to know when to not expend my energy on people that don't get it, period.
Yeah. And I mean, you and I and Ebony are going to be Black all the time, no matter what we do, no matter where we are.
Yes,
so I think what you just said is beautiful. But at the same time, I don't think I'll ever feel a responsibility to show up anywhere Black because I can't help it, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, how have you ever felt, and I'm sure Noor, you can speak to this, how sometimes you show up in spaces and because you're the only one, you may not say as much in a business environment. Or if I know back in the day, if there was what I thought was a microaggression, I had to make the decision, do I say this and be out here on my own? Or do I just kind of may say something sly back? Whereas now there is no ignoring it. I don't care where we are, who you are, I'm saying it. And so that's what I mean as far as showing, like not kind of pushing down. But if I addressed it, I'm also not going to go back and forth with you. It is what it is.
Yeah. Suppression is toxic. You don't want to hold things like that in because they'll kill you.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you also don't want to die on every hill that you think you need to fight on. Yes. You know?
Yep, that's true.
You know, she keeps saying, I want to have these human moments with Ramona. She says, we almost have a sisterhood, Ramona. And I sometimes feel like, is she doing that because she knows that the audience is going to watch her chumming it up with Ramona Singer and they're going to say, how the fuck are you going to be friends with somebody like this, right?
Right.
Basically what we say about her friendship with Leah, which she doesn't think is problematic. But I sometimes wonder if she's doing this stuff on camera. She's trying to coax these words out of Ramona on camera because she wants the world to hear Ramona Singer say, oh, no, I'm not racist.
Right.
But like, also, like, if you say to a bunch of white ladies, do you guys align with white supremacy? Do you really think they're going to say, you know what I do? Like,
yeah. How fucking receptive do you think they're going to be to that?
Once again, there's a way to word things, and not even because, oh, you're black and pulling back, because they don't even understand what it is. When they hear white supremacy, right, they think hoods.
Yeah.
You know, like hoods, white hoods, and she, like, they don't, they think blatant, like overt racism. There's a way to say that, just like you would to a child almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when it needs to be said in the right time and place. Yeah.
And you know, the clown started that whole conversation.
She sure did.
She did indeed. She did indeed. People have been raving about Sonia because she seems like she has some sense as far as race goes. But I've been sitting here like, but she's still the same old Sonia.
Yes.
You know?
Did y'all hear that she might have hired a coach before the
Stassi's coach?
Yeah, right, exactly. I was going to say a Stassi style coach.
Yeah. Sonia brought this on because the ladies really just wanted to know how the matchmaker event was.
Yeah.
And Sonia's like, Ebony's a nice girl. Okay.
Great. Ebony can talk about things other than race. Did you know that, you guys? She's human.
It was so insane. And, you know, the thing is, again, like, Luann is a moron because she sits down with Ebony and she's like, I just want to make sure that you know that I don't align with white supremacy. You know, I just want to make sure. And it's like, Luann is in it for herself. Sonia's in it for herself. Ramona's in it for herself. Like, these are not your friends. And if you need to keep sitting down, Ebony, and having conversations with them where they prove to you that they are not racist, if you still have a doubt in your mind at whether or not these women are racist, then they're probably racist. And maybe they're not your friends. And you need to treat them like your coworkers.
And I mentioned this on my podcast the other day, but Ebony herself has said that she's been a fan of this show from the beginning for 12 years, right up until the point that she was cast. Doesn't she know these women already?
Yeah.
How do we understand who Ramona, Sonia, and Luann are, but somehow Ebony doesn't? I'm really curious about that.
And as a matter of fact, being a fan, she kind of knows. We know if we meet Ramona, how we would act in order to get what we wanted from Ramona, right? Like if like Ramona doesn't want anybody clinging to her. Oh, so you ignore her, act like you don't know her. Then she's going to be like, well, who are you? Who is this? I feel like when Ebony was crying about her grandma, that humanized her to them.
Yeah.
You have the same conversation. Like, look, Ramona, when I came over to your house, the reason I asked about that was because sometimes it's hard for me in this world and come from that way.
Yep.
And be that way without saying stuff that you know they don't understand and it getting so. Because I feel like Ramona, look at Ramona and Bethany. There were times when there was empathy there and Ramona got it. You know what I mean? Because it was the way they communicated. So sometimes your communication style needs to change if the person don't understand your language.
Right. And Ebony is often hard to understand for a lot of people, not just, you know, middle-aged white women.
Yeah.
Because she's what I call a Blackademic. She has a very Black professorial way of speaking to people. And that can be not only confusing, but off-putting.
Yes.
I think, in my experience.
No, you're right. You're exactly right. And again, I think that's what makes somebody an effective communicator, knowing how to say nobody's telling you to pull it back. We're saying, say it so they can understand. Because what's the point of going balls to the wall if they don't even know what balls are? Like, so what are you putting to the wall?
Yeah.
And that's actually, I think, what Brashan is trying to tell her. Mm-hmm. She's trying to say, like, this isn't the group and they're not going to get it. And I think also, you know, as seriously as Ebony takes herself, I'd say Brashan takes herself equally not that serious. Like, whatever uptight, I mean, I don't want to call it uptight because I don't think Ebony is uptight. I think Ebony is just hyper aware. Okay, she's a Virgo, like myself. And you guys, really horrible. I'm one birthday away from Leah McSweeney.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Do you know who my birthday twin is?
Who? Oh.
Kelly Dodd.
Oh, no.
Not Obi?
I win.
Yes, you do. I was like, I can't even say anything. You're absolutely right. Yeah, you're right.
Famous cannibal Army Hammer also shares a birthday with me.
All right. Yeah, you got me there.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but I think that's what, you know, I think Ebony, I don't think she's uptight. I just think that she's very planned. She knows what she wants to do. She comes in and she knows exactly how she wants to navigate a situation. Yeah. But I think also, because this is what happens to us A-types, is we navigate a situation almost to the point of wanting to be in control, because you think that if you run a situation a certain way, you're going to get the response that you're looking for. And I think that's what keeps happening, is she keeps going into these conversations with these idiots and she thinks that because she's been around idiots like that before, that she's going to get some sense of like logic from them or like a human moment from them. And the issue is that maybe she was around people like that at Fox News, but even though Fox News is a fucking bananas network, it's still a news network. Yes. So you're going to have people there on like their best behavior talking. These are drunk women in a tattoo parlor.
Yes.
With a man on stilts.
Yes. In vinyl cat suits.
In vinyl cat suits.
Straight up trash bags.
Yeah.
So Ebony shares this moment where she tells everybody that her grandmother has passed. But before she can do that, Leah McSweeney begins to choke on her non-existent tears. Like, what's happening? And even Ramona's like, why are you freaking out? Like,
and see, though, honestly, can I just say, I would rather have a Ramona over Aaliyah, because Ramona, I know where she stands.
Yeah, she's very straightforward.
Yeah, like when she said, why are you crying? Like with Bethany, she's crying. Remember she said, why are you crying?
Crying. Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, then, you know, it's just bizarre. They all hug. But also, guys, like, did anybody see any tears come out of Ebony's eyes?
No, because her and Leah both have way too much Botox.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah. Because it can also, it doesn't paralyze your tear ducts, obviously, but it makes it harder for the muscles around them to push out tears.
Obi, you
so their faces are frozen and they can't really cry.
Obi almost made me spit out my, I had to hold it in.
Sorry.
I was doing a Kegel with my mouth. But yeah, I thought about that. One of those things that I feel like I could say it to you, like, even though the world is going to hear it, we can say it and it's okay. But I felt the same. And especially that she was the nicer one. I was like, they're not crying. Because if I was crying about my grandmother currently, and I know everyone is different, I would cry silently, because if I tried to speak, and I don't like to cry out loud. So it was a lot going on at that table.
It was. When I lost my grandmother, who I was super close to, it took me like 6 months to actually cry about it, because it's not like I was going to be sharing it with all, you know, with like too many people or whatever. And I felt like I never got around to it, you know? And I'm not sure that that moment would have happened for me in this environment, in this atmosphere, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, everybody grieves, you know, in their own way, but I would think that at the moment when they're sitting there and they're having this conversation about race or whatever, I'm surprised that Ebony in that moment didn't say, you guys, you know, honestly, I don't really want to talk about this because my grandmother just passed away. Right.
Like, it was more important for her to continue on with her agenda than to open up to the other women, which is something you have to do on these shows. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No.
That's good. Do y'all think that, Noor, you said something earlier that basically Ebony comes in with an agenda because she knows what she wants to get across, like, to the audience. There was a part of me that thought that Ebony and Sonya may have had some conversation off camera for Sonya to bring that up, because Ebony's not really trying to really change Ramona and Lou. She's really talking to the audience, and she knows that. And that's why she keeps doing it.
That's a good point. I mean, I don't know if that's exactly what she's thinking of in that moment. And I don't even know if Sonya is smart enough to like scheme like that. But if she was to scheme with Ebony, Sonya is also dumb enough to bring it up in that totally random way.
Right.
You're like, how is the matchmaking? And Sonya's like, Ebony's a nice person.
Right. Because it's like they never got around to talking about the matchmaker before on the bus. So then they bring it up. And I just feel like Ebony is very much talking to the audience.
Yeah.
Because again, she watched the show. That was another thought I had. I'm like, she's talking to the audience. She's not even talking to these ladies, really.
That's so annoying, though, because I don't know about anybody else, but I don't watch I don't watch the Housewives for them to be talking to me in confessionals. I watch it to see them interact and have relationships and have drama and all of that. Yes. So if that's what Ebony is doing, she's doing it wrong. She's doing housewife wrong.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that there's a lot of producing happening, essentially. Yes. And, you know, that's mm-hmm. where the problem is. I think Ebony's a great person. You know, I think she's an accomplished person. She's stunning. She's got all of the things on paper that should make a great housewife. But the biggest issue on any of these franchises when you have a new person join the group is that if they don't have authentic relationships with the rest of the cast, it shows. It shows. Exactly. And that's what we're seeing here. By the way, I don't think Real Housewives of New York is boring. I know a lot of people are saying that. I don't find it boring. I thought this week's episode was
good,
hilarious to me. It was like classic Roni antics, right? Like there was mm-hmm. Sonia peed herself, Ramona shit herself.
Oh my God.
Luann berated somebody. Sonia got drunk.
Were her Chanel earrings on backwards?
Of course they were.
They were, yeah. They were Nelcha.
Yes. I will, from here on out, refer to Chanel as Nelcha. Oh my God. But you know what? Even if she was authentic friends with one of them and Ebony was having these conversations, it would come across different than what it's come across now. Yeah. So I think you hit the nail on that. It's like none of them, because even Ramona and Luann aren't really friends. They never could stand each other.
No. Mm-hmm. The most sincere moments we've seen actually have been between Sonia and Ramona the day after they get drunk and then sit on the bed and talk. Mm-hmm. That's always the most real moments, you know, because they're like, Ramona is a monster. Sonia is needy. They do have a real relationship there, but everything else just seems really produced. I mean, the fact that every morning, whenever we see like the next morning, the first scenes we always get are Ebony in her glam chair and Leah in her glam chair. I'm like,
when did that happen?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it is a part of that new housewives era that they're trying to usher in with the younger women. It's common for younger housewives to have a glam team, but it does look out of place on Roni because they didn't used to do that shit.
That's
one thing we appreciated about them. Dorinda barefaced in the morning making coffee with her glasses on, her little on her mullet. Like, we appreciated those things.
Not hungover in the least somehow after drinking four bottles of vodka.
Probably still a little drunk.
Yes, her and Lou doing yoga. Remember that when they went and they were doing yoga that early in the morning?
I wouldn't be able to move, let alone pose.
So the ladies go the next day to this a fucking pioneer place. Like, Leah, what are you doing? I don't understand this. Like,
they couldn't find anything better to do in Salem, Massachusetts, than go to like a Mayflower exhibit, an interactive Mayflower exhibit.
And y'all don't mind if I put on the outfit of the oppressed man? That right there, if nothing in me had died for her then, because I never really felt it for her in me, but maybe there was an ember, that fire was put out. You are what did Kenya say to Portia? You are a dumb hoe. Like,
you are a dumb hoe. Shut up.
Yes.
It was insane to me because I was like, Ebony, you didn't tell, like, you guys, obviously everybody gets an itinerary probably.
Yeah.
You know, Leah told you the plan and then Ebony didn't go, hold on, wait a minute, Leah, we can't, Brashan and I are not going to this.
Yeah. Isn't that the moment to have also the conversations that you've been having? I would have had it then. Like, y'all do know what was going on here in the 16. Like,
Brashan, she could have stepped right in.
Yeah, yes. Brashan is the one that said, we're not doing this. You know, we've been through enough.
I'm
not convinced that Ebony and Leah even really talk. Wouldn't you have talked about that with your friend?
Yep.
That's actually a great point.
Oh, evidently there was a part cut out where Brashan was actually, and I'm saying schooling for lack of a better word, but like schooling the ladies on like the things with Black people at Ebony's dinner, but they cut it out.
I heard about that. Yeah.
And it's and that's when you don't have Black editors, because why in the world would you cut that out? Because now it looks like you're pitting two Black women against each other.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people right now are watching Bershon thinking that she's like an All Lives Matter Republican. I don't think she is.
She had given me a little bit of tease the first scene when she said, we're all the same. I was like, no. I mean, and I got where she was coming from. Mm-hmm. You know what it was? I just didn't want her to say it in front of these women and all of America, because we're not all
the same. It sounds very dismissive to say that we're all the same. Yeah. We're all human, yes, but we are different, but we can love each other all the same.
Yes.
You know?
That's when they're at this dumbass pioneer pilgrim shit, Sonia puts on the bonnet and Bershon says, how do you feel in that? Because I feel like Bershon is also asking in a way, being like, isn't this fucking insane?
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And Sonia says, well, my family is a very old American family, so I feel okay.
What the fuck does that have to do with anything, Sonia?
Tell the story.
That was 8 generations ago.
Okay. So if you listen to our podcast regularly, but those of you who are new listeners, you will know that a couple of weeks ago, Arthie actually went to a plantation that was owned by the Morgan family in Maryland.
Oh.
And it was, like, you know, a plantation until the 80s.
Damn it. I knew it. I said on my podcast that I'm sure if you looked back further enough, there's some Atlantic slave trade skeletons in the Morgan family closet. And you proved me right.
There have to be. There have to be. You are talking about one of the oldest American families who have existed for years. Who the fuck do you think was cleaning and servicing the townhouse all those years before it was Sonia's in New York City?
Indeed. Yeah.
Wow.
It wasn't a Polish woman. Probably,
right?
You know,
but see, I didn't even put together that Sonia was talking about the Morgans. I thought she was talking about her family that she was actually born into.
She's from Connecticut. I wouldn't be surprised I wouldn't be surprised. Is she from Connecticut or somewhere like that?
She's from upstate New York, but okay. I mean, they're not that different.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think Sonia doesn't even consider that part of her family her family. She always considers the Morgans her family. She's obsessed with them.
Yeah.
That is, wow.
So when she says that though, right? And then they cut to like Ebony and Leah overhearing the conversation she's having with Sonia's having with Bershon. They start to realize that Sonia is going into the spiral about her townhouse and the drinking and all that stuff. And it's like something about whenever the Morgan family comes up, it sets Sonia into this loop, right? Of the letters and the townhouse and the daughter and the inheritance and the interest rates at Wells Fargo. Like all this shit starts to pile up on her. And that was the moment when Sonia was like, okay, I'm going to go crazy now because I'm going to start drinking and I'm going to lose my shit.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of shit, then afterwards,
ugh.
Okay, why aren't we blurring out the poop, guys? Hello, Bravo. Hi. I don't need to see that.
And who do you think is believing you use makeup that dark, Ramon?
I was like, yeah, are you doing like brown face?
For what?
What
are you doing?
Like,
my God,
consistency. Because if it was a cream makeup doesn't fall out of the pan like that, ma'am.
It falls out of your butt because it's poop.
Like, if my thing is, where were you when you had to use the like?
So many
because
questions.
It happened in the bathroom. You couldn't make. Cartagena was an exception. When you catch a bug like that,
fine.
But this right here. And then when Sonia said she peed, I'm like, so if Ramona didn't wash her behind, you know what she smells like. And Sonia, you've gone out in these same pants. This is why I cannot eat and watch Roni. It's the only franchise that I can eat. I have to eat before I watch it. I cannot eat and watch Roni. It's disgusting.
Yeah. But these women would truly just, Ramona is someone who would rather shit herself on TV than talk about race in America.
Literally.
My God. So they go to this restaurant. One little thing at the restaurant that cracked me up was they get to the restaurant and they're sitting there. And I don't know who it was. Somebody asked the waitress like, oh, how long has this place been around? Like as if it's historic. And the lady's like, I don't know, 1998.
Like, who cares?
Right.
It's not like you lived here and then you came back and it was here.
They're like, oh, look at this old world Italian restaurant. Like, it's made it like during like Y2K.
Like, I know we're in Salem, but not everything is from the 17th century.
Right.
Some shit is from 20 years ago.
Oh my God. That was funny.
And then, ladies and gentlemen, is the moment where Brashan chose violence. And honestly, I loved it.
I loved every second of it.
Okay. So Brashan says, I think you guys are boring. And I don't blame her because until that moment, they are being boring. Okay. Leah took them to a pioneer festival. And then, like, the night before, they have this really heavy conversation. Obviously, Ebony wants to talk about her grandmother passing. That is a deep conversation. She could have it there. But between that and the white supremacy stuff, like, Brashan's like, y'all are not fun. And that's, so she starts to say, you know, I wanted to come here and I wanted to let loose.
Yeah.
And I want to point out that Luann may not have called Brashan an angry woman, but the tone that she took with Brashan was not any different than how she spoke with Ebony in Sag Harbor.
Amen. And not only that, Ebony mentioned herself when Leah and Sag Harbor called them all hoes. No one said a word. They let it pass. When she elevated her voice slightly, they called her an angry woman. She wanted them to recognize that. But the fact that she couldn't recognize for Brashan what they were doing to her really irritated me. That irritated me so much.
Me too. Me too. If you know me, you know that I'm not an Ebony fan. Mm-hmm. However, I would have expected her to react better in that moment and have Brashan's back. I expected more of her in that situation, and she didn't have her back at all. In fact, when the three or four of them left the restaurant and it was only Ramona, Brashan, and Sonia left, and they were on the street, Ebony was telling Leah and Luann that Brashan was coming off desperate.
Yeah,
and they were all giggling about it.
Yes, and like, I think it's because she felt like Brashan undermined her at her dinner. Girl, get over that.
Yeah,
it had that tinge of mean girl revenge to it.
Yes.
And I was surprised by that because, you know, Ebony is usually so high and mighty or whatever, but definitely not in that moment.
Yeah, that pissed me off so bad. I was like, I would have been like, yo, y'all. And Leah, now you did. Well, I guess maybe she couldn't break the fourth wall and say, well, Leah, last year you did scream that you're glad that you're the only one that got your period because she wasn't there. But I still would have been like, come on now, y'all. Ease up on Brashan. Like, come on now. Y'all been called worse.
Yes.
Yeah.
You call each other worse. And I get it. It's like, okay, I can call my friends that, but you're new and you can't. So I understand that sentiment. Mm-hmm. But look, last week, Leah said, it's not so much that we're worried about the race stuff. It's just that we're worried about how you're going to treat Ebony because historically you don't treat the new girl very nicely. So it almost felt like they were like, oh, we have to be nice to Ebony because she's the first Black housewife.
Yes.
But Brashan, you're the second one. So you don't get that protection. And you're a friend of. So we're going to treat you the way we treat friends of, which is terribly.
But see, at that time, they didn't know that Brashan was a friend of and not a full-time housewife. Because originally, both of them were supposed to be full-time.
Yep. Oh, and Brashan was hired first.
Yes, exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, do you remember? I don't know if you heard it, Obi. There was like conversation. Like, I wonder how Brashan feels with them saying Ebony is the first Black housewife when Brashan was hired first.
Damn, I didn't know.
You have to wonder.
Yeah,
you really do.
You have to. Now, I did. From what I heard, that her boyfriend has money and didn't want her to be full time, which is always funny to me because even if you're a friend of, as we see, you're in the mess.
Yeah.
Yes. The thing I heard about why she's a friend of and not full time is maybe it was this moment where it happened, but the producers felt like Brashan couldn't hold her own in the group, that she was letting them run her over. Whereas Ebony, for all of her faults, you might want to call them, is a very tough character and doesn't fold. So they kind of abandoned Brashan halfway through and decided to go with Ebony full time. From what I've been told.
I can see that because I was like, Brashan, stand 10 toes down, baby. Like, if you say it, stand in it. Like when she threw that out there about Leah, what I didn't like, y'all, I wanted to, like Jackie Christie, let's just fight. When Leah stood up and had
shout out to Basketball Wives.
Shout out to Basketball Wives. When Leah stood up and there's something about somebody like her doing her fingers like, because you just messed up with me. Like the way hold up. Say what now? Say it again. I dare you.
Yeah. Also, Sonia, clown ass Sonia, when she starts to fight with Brashan, all of a sudden the fingers and the girlfriend
and her
and all that the black scent.
Yes.
Oh my God. I was like,
I heard that too. I heard it too.
And then it blew my mind that Leah's like, you can't sit here and call them grandmas. You can't sit here and call them boring. Bitch, you literally, you threw tiki, and you can't blow the night up and not own it. You threw tiki torches. You threw a ravioli. You screamed at an octopus. You yelled about everybody's periods. You said Ramona was a whore. Like, you've said all of these things just the night before. You screamed in Ramona's face and said, you're what's wrong with the world. And now you're going to act also like righteous and be like, uh-huh. Oh, you're getting in the way of my budding relationship with Ramona. You don't have a fucking budding relationship with Ramona, Leah. Like, you're a liar.
For her to say that night she had a budding relationship with Ramona, but that morning didn't know Ramona was in the room and was like, she's just irritating.
She's talking shit about
her. Oh, but you have a budding relationship.
I feel like at that dinner, we saw Leah pulling rank on Bershawn because yes. Leah was no longer the new girl. Yes. And that was her, well, I'm a fucking housewife now. I've been here for a year, 2 years or whatever. And I'm going to put you in your place and I'm going to try to school you on how you act in this group, even though, I mean, she's nobody's example.
And you know what? You're right, because she knows she couldn't do that to Ebony.
No, never.
Exactly. So she found her target. Like, they were like, oh, okay, mm-hmm. so she's... We're nice to the one black girl so we can be mean to the other one.
Yeah.
Yes. That's
basically what I read.
Oh,
I've been there and lived that for sure.
Exactly. Man, I wanted to get on 95 to get to New York. Bershawn, I'm coming. I got you. What you say to her? Ebony, let me holler at you, sis.
Oh my God.
Right.
So mad.
I can't with Ebony and Leah. And Ebony all of a sudden suddenly turned into this like super proper quiet woman who's like, this is too classless for me. Like, I
can't believe you're doing it. Miss Carolina, like she used to be. Miss North Carolina.
Yeah.
Ebony's a beauty pageant queen too. We have a lot of them as housewives and she's got that background and it comes out in moments like that where she feels like she needs to be above the fray.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's like, how dare you talk to Sonia that way? I'm like, you all talk to Sonia that way.
Luann, you told her she was a one night with Tom, like basically a passer. Like I was talking to Raven. Raven said, Luann basically told Sonia she was a pass around. But Bershawn calling her a clown is a big deal.
It was insane. It was insane. This woman probably smells like piss. Okay. The other woman has shit on her shoe. She then takes her shit boot and puts it on top of a table and starts dancing. And she's like, Bershawn is embarrassing me.
Me and Corey were talking about that. So Bershawn is embarrassing you, so you get on the table. Y'all should have seen Corey's face. He said, are they even allowed to do that? I was like, no.
I was screaming, take your boots off. Do not get on that table with your shoes on. Take your boots off. And of course, she didn't do it.
No.
Y'all know us.
Disgusting.
People. I'm 44, and I would be scared my mom would see me on TV.
Oh my God.
I know you wasn't on no table.
And the biggest thing that I think actually bothered me, besides all the shit that we just talked about, was that what's wrong with Real Housewives of New York, in my opinion, is that we don't have a story being told here.
Yes.
The reason why Beverly Hills is so good this season is because there's a story being told across the season. I don't know what the story is in New York. And you know, in the past, New York didn't necessarily need a story, but it wasn't so unhinged. We're like, we couldn't watch it, right? The unhingedness is, by the way, not a reflection on Ebony or even Bershawn. It's just the rest of the women and how they are dealing with women of color joining the show. I think that's really what it is.
Because I think if Dorinda was the effort, I'm not the biggest Dorinda fan, but I do see her value. She has authentic connections to Ramona, authentic connections to Lou. Even if she didn't to Leah, she has authentic connections to people that have been staples on New York for a long time.
Yeah.
So she would be the bridge. What I would be really interested in was seeing Dorinda and say Ebony and then how Leah would deal with that. You know, like just see how Dorinda would be, because we haven't seen her around Black folks either now.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have one time. Oh, do you remember?
Oh, you know, she handed her coat to somebody.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly.
Y'all, oh my gosh. She was in a Clubhouse room. It was the week that Harry and Meghan's interview was coming out.
Oh God.
Someone asked her, what do you think about Meghan? You know, how she's doing over there. Oh, that Kate is doing such a good job. She's this, she's that. And the person said, yes, that's true. But what do you think about Meghan? And she said, oh, I guess we'll have to see when the interview comes out, whoever's watching. But that Kate is. So I text the person and said, now I picked up on a little something. It wasn't the R word, but it was more like the P word, like prejudiced or has some stereotypes. And she said, absolutely, I believe that. The way she, y'all, Nora's rubbing her face like sun. She can't take it.
I have out my rose quartz roller.
Oh my God. Okay. You have a roller.
Yes, she really started. I wish I had mine out. Mine is in the freezer next to my chicken. I told Corey I need a mini fridge in my room so I don't, my roller doesn't have to be next to him. But y'all, Noor literally started rolling her forehead.
So, yeah. Yes,
but it's just wild. I don't know. It just,
you know, I think a lot of people want Dorinda back. This week's episode was totally unhinged. Like, why would you want to add more drunkenness to this? The only thing I can think of though is the difference between Ramona and Dorinda is if Dorinda is fighting with someone and she convinces you to be on her side, like let's say against Sonia, and then you fight her battle, she will back you up. Ramona doesn't back anybody up because Ramona's chicken shit. So that's that. But that was only like benefit I could see. Do you guys have any other thoughts on New York?
I think we put it all on the table.
Yes.
Oh, wait, no shoes.
No, there is something. I'm sorry, I got to say it. There's something about these white women that like walking on tables. Remember when Kyle did that in Lake Tahoe?
I can't.
I said my ancestors would have raised up and been like, and looked at me and be like, I dare you.
Well,
put your feet.
At least Kyle took her shoes off when she was walking across that island, though. That's true. I have to give her that.
And did you guys see Ebony on Watch What Happens Live? Where she said,
yes.
Obi, what about when she said what her regret was? Bringing Heather into her issue that she had with Leah about voting, and her and Heather are actually very good now. They send each other prayers. That was interesting to me.
Oh, how nice for you after we did all of this, this defending of you in that situation.
Yes.
And then you went on the Breakfast Club and said every Black person who has a problem with you on this show just doesn't know how to deal with the microaggressions that they get from white people all the time. Basically, We're beneath you and we have no reason to be criticizing you and how you're doing on this show.
That was my issue with Ebony. I said, don't be so quick to school white people that you forget that some of your own people, hey, maybe just learning how to use a voice too, or maybe don't know how to use a voice. So you would rather school them when they come at you nasty in the DMs than taking a deep breath and having an allowance for people that look like you and say, hey, sis, maybe you're feeling this way. You'd rather come at us though when we was out here capping for you, as the kids would say.
No, that ain't cool. Exactly.
Yeah.
I know I was cussing people out over that situation. And I don't even fucking like Ebony.
Listen, right.
In the words of Ramona, I don't even like you, bitch. I was out here defending you.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. I was so mad.
Well, all right. Well, let's go to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. So we open up after the ugly leather pants comment. Sutton is still unraveling. And it is very, very evident that Sutton is really just mad at herself more than anything else. I have to say, I am so impressed by Crystal's ability to just not give a shit.
Yes.
Loved it. Loved it. It was one of the hottest things I've ever seen in my entire life.
So hot.
I so love hot. A woman that can do that. Talk about standing 10 toes down with a smile on your face.
And looking good while doing it.
Exactly. Yeah.
She had her hands in her pockets. She shrugged and she smiled. She's like, this is not my problem.
Right. Coming from somebody that looks like a Christmas ornament. Get out of here.
Right?
All the time. All the time. Oh, God. Well, Sutton and Crystal, they sit down and they're forced to have a conversation with each other. And Sutton says, Crystal's presence bothers me. And then she looks at Crystal and says, why are you constantly mean? I said, but wait, you just said like essentially Crystal's existence is annoying to you.
It is offensive to you.
What? But Crystal's right when she says Sutton is an inappropriate, awkward person.
Yeah.
It's indeed true.
It's true.
And she could have said much worse.
Oh, yeah, she could have.
She really could have. And then Crystal, so, you know, they do their whatever, semi-apologies or whatever. What I thought was really annoying was Lisa Rinna tried to, like, come at Crystal, like, are you going to fix your apology, essentially? Yes. And Crystal was like, I said what I said, Lisa. Like,
right.
So good.
No, I'm not changing what I said. I said what I said and I meant it.
And I was annoyed that they even got that little bit out of her, that apology. Tell her you're sorry for calling her manic. Crystal was, Sutton was manic, period. Look up the definition of that word.
Yes.
The energy that she gave her was manic. And that's what takes me back to all of y'all. None of y'all had Crystal's back in Lake Tahoe, but this woman who is just, I mean, one of the most fragile characters we've seen on TV is just crying and they're petting her up and
they're literally petting her.
Petting her up. My grandma used to say that. Stop petting that child up. You're spoiling them. She's petting her up. What did Erica say to her? She said something to Erica, like, I'm sorry. And Erica's like, no, don't be sorry. It's like, what? Y'all are better than me.
I know.
Because I've dealt with a person like Sutton, like
me
everything
too.
About them. And it's like, nah,
I was so happy that Crystal essentially told Sutton, tears don't move me.
Yes.
Taria, you're going to recognize that phrase.
okay.
Nor you might too, but Taria, you're definitely going to recognize it. And it basically means your crying is not going to get you anywhere.
Anywhere. My mom said that.
Mine too.
Tears don't move me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The thing is, it's like Crystal is not falling for your white lady tears.
Thank
ma'am.
You.
Exactly.
Did you guys see the video of the crazy white lady at the Victoria's Secret this week?
I did. I saw that today.
You guys?
My blood pressure.
That is my Victoria's Secret. That is the one that I go to when I get my free panty coupons.
Small world.
You know, yeah, it's New Jersey. And it's like not even like, you know, like bumblefuck New Jersey. It's Short Hills Mall. Like,
oh, that
it's
is,
like,
oh my gosh.
It's like the fanciest, wealthiest, most liberal area in New Jersey. And you have this like cuckoo bird.
You know what pissed me off was when that white lady in line said, maybe you should back up to the black lady.
Girl, oh, yeah.
No, how about you shut up? See, I'm getting worked up. I'm sorry.
But yeah, I mean, we know that white lady tears are used as a weapon. And I know that Sutton's not using it to call the cops, but Sutton's using it to make Crystal look like a monster. And she's not.
Right.
Do you know somebody came in my comments and I blocked them and said, Crystal has been so mean this whole season. She's basically been torturing Sutton. What are y'all watching?
And listen, Crystal has Lion King money. She doesn't need to bow down to anybody.
Right.
Nope. Crystal has more real money than any of them.
Yes.
Anybody else in that group. That Lion King Disney money that Rob has made, that's some long paper.
Doesn't Crystal
that's some real long paper.
Like long.
Yes.
Doesn't Crystal strike you as the type, though, even if she didn't have no money, she's still like those people that just have that air about them, like, and what?
Yeah.
Crystal is a bad bitch. Excuse my French. Yeah. But she's truly a bad bitch.
She would be a bad bitch
whether she was married to Rob Minkoff or not. She just is. Yeah. It's in her being.
And if you see the way she even deals with her children, Arthi pointed this out a couple weeks ago, the way that she deals with her children having a tantrum is the exact same way she dealt with Sutton, which is like, you need to calm down. And when you're calm, I will have a conversation with you, which is actually like very much how people of color are raised. Like our parents don't give into our tantrums. When we have a tantrum, our parents, first of all, when we were growing up,
there was no such thing, but there was
a tantrum that was followed by a backhand. So that was that.
Yes. I saved all of my tantrums for school. Yeah, I didn't have them at
home. That's right.
Exactly. But like my kids know if you're going to have a tantrum, mama's not going to talk to you. And my 7.5-year-old, he knows if he's freaking out, he literally tells me, I just need to calm down first and then I'll talk to you. And he goes to his room and he decompresses. And when he's calm, he can come and have a conversation with me. My 4-year-old knows how to calm his body down when he's having a meltdown because we don't communicate with teeny tiny terrorists.
That's what my girlfriend said. She said, I don't negotiate with terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
When I was younger, I'll never forget, we had a green chair in my house and I wanted to go spend the night over my Uncle Michael's house, my mom's brother. And she said, no. So I started like sliding down the chair. Then I got up and I was like, I kept doing it. I would slide down, get up. I was throwing my body in the chair. This probably went on for about 25 minutes. After I wore myself out, my mom got up and wore me out. Like I have another one. Go ahead. So she let me literally wear myself out. I was sighing. She tore me up. I didn't wear myself out no more after that.
I just she like, let you tire yourself out so you couldn't run.
Yes, yes. Wore me out. I'm like, so when I saw how Crystal dealt with it, I was like, I think, Nora, we talked about this before. Like,
yeah,
we could have had a lot less childhood trauma.
Yes, exactly. That's all I'm trying to do is spare my kids a little bit of childhood trauma. They'll get trauma in other ways.
You can't not fuck up a child. It's impossible. And it's going to happen in some way or another.
We have to raise our kids different than white kids because our kids have to be tough enough to handle things. They can't just fold.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. So the rest of the episode primarily is just about Erica Jane / Girardi's story. Okay, guys, I'm sorry. Okay. I listen.
Nora, don't make us shut this computer on you. Like,
listen, I'm so sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. You guys, I cried watching it yesterday. What's wrong?
No.
I know, you guys, listen, I did tell you that I was perhaps not fully in the right mind.
That's right. Okay.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. There may have been a little bit of libations of some sort involved, but okay. So Erica, here's what I got to say about Erica. Okay. Erica Jane / Girardi is either the Meryl Streep of our time, or she really did know. Here's my theory about what's going on. I think that Erica's tears are real.
Okay.
But Erica's tears are real because she's fucked. Right. But it's not real because she has remorse or that she's upset about the mess that like Tom has dragged her into, or that she feels sad that she's losing her husband, or that she was in this terrible marriage for 20 some years. No, she's crying because her husband has run out of money. Everybody's asking for money. And apparently he's embezzled some and she was roped into it. Like, she's saying she doesn't know. She may not have known, or she may have chosen not to know.
Yeah.
But I think her tears were real, but they were just real for herself not for anybody else.
I can see that. Because she talked about starting over and all that.
I don't believe it. I don't believe those tears. One, for the fact that she chose non-waterproof mascara to wear for that scene. Yeah. Look, I know I'm not a woman. I'm not a drag queen, but I have known plenty of women throughout my life. I have dated plenty of women throughout my life. I know there's such a thing as waterproof mascara.
Yeah.
I don't ever not wear waterproof mascara. I wear contacts. I can't be. And if they start, I never wear non-waterproof mascara ever.
Exactly. Exactly.
Also, we were all there when you had that meltdown at Eileen because she mentioned something about your son and your face contorted and you started to cry. So like, what happened then? Was there more Botox then? Is there less Botox now? Like, what's going on here that you are crying this hard? But I'll tell you what, the moment that she didn't have me. So she had me this whole episode.
Okay.
But at the end, she says, everybody wants to be your friend until you don't have money. Everybody wants to be your friend until, you know, you need X, Y, and Z. And then she says, everybody wants to be your friend until you ask them to help you bury a body.
Body. Like, yeah.
Like, yes.
Wait a minute.
That was very weird.
Like, because we're not doing that.
I was like, Erica, what are you
She
unconsciously went alluding to right now?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, that was to me. Did you see Camille Donatacci's tweet?
Yeah.
I did, yeah. I never agree with Camille. I don't like Camille, but I was like, you're damn right, Camille.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the thing about Erica is that, like, we have seen enough of you over the years to realize like that, like I have to believe the fact that, okay, some of it, obviously it was clear as day that she was putting on this persona, right? Yeah. Like she was, she came on, maybe she was Erica Girardi for like half a season, one season.
Yeah.
And then after that, she was very quickly, I'm Erica Jane. This is who I am. Pat the Puss, glam squads, blah, blah, blah. Right. Like
Ice Queen, et cetera.
Ice Queen, et cetera. So I get that she's kind of like, okay, I'm now taking the facade down and maybe this is who she really is. But what really drove me bananas was just like Kyle, Rinna, fucking Dorit being like, we have to believe her because innocent until proven guilty. And I get that, like, okay, fine, this is like a massive federal case. So maybe you're treating it differently than Puppygate or Denise. but you are highly suspicious of every single other person that has ever been on this show, but you're not suspicious of this lady who has not just, it's not just like a couple of lawsuits. And it's not like she just found out about it after she filed for divorce. She's been like, I guess, I don't know what the legal terms are, but listen to the Bravo docket. They know what they're talking about. But she's been, they've reached out to her in the past. She's been sued for years.
Yep.
So what is it? Anyway, I mean, look, shame on me because I did cry.
Don't apologize for being an empathetic human being.
Exactly.
You are a lovely, empathetic human being. Oh, but I say fuck her and her tears. And her cheap mascara.
And the Range Rover she rode in on.
Yes. Now,
I was doing a little bit of research and I was looking at her home and somebody had posted half the address on Reddit. It came up that EJ Global owned the home, but now some kind of way something was transferred to two attorneys that used to work at Girardi and Keese. So she essentially paid herself to live there.
Yeah. Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What a tangled web.
We weave. Oh man. Pat that puss, honey.
Yeah. Pat the puss all the way to jail. Okay. Where you're probably going to have to pat somebody's puss because you're going to become somebody's bitch.
Or at the very least, Shakers, where you're going to have to take some clothes off this time.
Yes. Yep.
You and Danielle Staub back on the pole together. Oh,
that ghoul.
That is the perfect description for her. That is perfect. Thank you. Ghoul. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Her and Bethany both are ghoulish to me. I can't stand the look at either one of them.
Bethany's crying.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that was so good.
You know, I really enjoyed watching. It was very compelled watching Beverly Hills. I was like, okay, I believe all of this that's happening. And I appreciate that Garcelle is like tiptoeing around this shit. She's like, the way she's like standing outside talking to Kyle, she's trying to get Kyle to like, say something. Like, just go on.
Be honest.
Girl. Yeah. Be honest and open, Kyle. Mm-hmm. Like you always say you want everybody to be.
Oh, God. Kyle has never resonated with me at all, ever. No. Yeah, anyway, it was a good episode.
It was. One other thing about Erica that I noticed is that she cries the most when she thinks about people calling her divorce a sham. And I think that there's something there, right? I think that she feels upset because, and this is just what I got out of it, she probably feels upset because it probably was never great being married to Tom.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think anybody, I don't think anybody's surprised that like, oh, you didn't have a loving relationship. You guys weren't fucking every night and cuddling before bed and talking about your dreams.
Speaking
like,
of ghoulish.
Oh, God, I can't even imagine. Mm.
Yeah, like, why do you think Erica was so pent up all the time? It's like, because she literally, like, she was just home with this terrible man. Yeah. And she had to put
she
on
was a prisoner of her own greed.
He was. Yeah. And so I believe that. I believe that when she says, like, he wasn't loving and, you know, she wanted him to be a little bit different and whatever, or, like, she wanted him to be warmer and all that shit. I believe that stuff. So when she's like, oh, this divorce isn't a sham, it might not be. You obviously are not in love with him and you obviously want out of the marriage, but the divorce is happening because you are out of money.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
And you don't want to be tied to this man.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you filed for divorce after the first time you had been subpoenaed in May. Like, come on.
Bingo.
Yeah. So why are you acting? And then, bitch, we were all there in Lake Tahoe when you wouldn't shut the fuck about how Tom is a workhorse. And I love that about Tom, that he lets me be me and all this shit. Like, what are you talking about?
And why are they not bringing that up? Like, well, Erica, in Lake Tahoe, you said this. What were you trying to hide? Like, even if they approached it that way, why are they not bringing that up?
Yeah.
For some reason, most of them are afraid of her.
Yes.
I don't understand why, but they are.
Yes, they are.
I'm like, she is not going to throw hands. There's nothing she can do to you but get loud. Get loud back.
Yeah.
Now, on that end, I can't wait till she cusses Sutton.
Or what?
The enemy of my enemy.
Exactly. Is my friend.
Oh, man. I will say one more thing is that I don't care to watch Rinna just like
oh my
be
God.
A functional hoarder. That is so gross, you guys.
It is so gross.
It's the grossest house. I watched the clip. Somebody shared it on Twitter about all it said was Harry Hamlin hates Lisa Rinna is when he's like making sauce last week and she goes to taste it. And then she's about to use the same spoon to taste the other pot. He's like, can you not like use a different spoon? Right. But the way he looks at her is like, I'm so disgusted by you. That scene, they have a whole, they have a phone in their kitchen. You guys, it's a huge white phone. It could not have been made after 1994. It's a huge white phone on their kitchen counter. It's not a cordless phone. It's got a million buttons. What? I don't know if they're transfer. I don't know if there was an operator behind that phone.
It's a Huger phone. Yeah. Remember the first season of Potomac? Oh my God. When everything in their house was white.
Yes.
And from the 90s. It's a Huger phone.
It is. Oh. They have a Huger phone in the Hamlin Rinna house. And so when she's showing this like huge thing in her garage where she's storing $20,000 dresses, I was like, what do you have inside of your house?
Who puts clothing in a garage?
Right. Like that. Like what?
Yeah. And I know like Lisa Rinna. Rooms. Yeah. And she like goes on trips and she does the whole thing where she Lysols everything down. I'm like, you're trying to sell us something.
Yes.
And we don't believe it because your house is disgusting and you probably are too.
She rubbed her dog's belly when the season was first starting and then went to getting something out of the kitchen.
She gave everybody worms.
Okay. Well, listen, guys, wait. Obi, are you a dog person?
Yeah, I like dogs.
Okay. Is that Taria and I are famously not.
Yes.
Me and Norway. Yes, I know.
Nor, wait, when Leah's dog was walking, like, just around Ebony's house, Nor, would you tweet to me, comment to me, like, I know, I can see you cringing right now. I was losing my mind.
Yeah, you don't let your four-legged person on top of a table where food goes.
And she didn't move.
No.
She didn't move.
But yeah, I mean, I know I've seen some of that in real life where there's like rubbing and kissing.
Yes.
And then there's like,
they're like, you want something to drink? No, ma'am. I'm good.
No.
Nothing from your house.
You need to wash your hands. Yes. Listen, and don't touch me either.
Speaking about washing hands real quick, I just got to take it back for a second. One of my favorite moments of Atlanta last season was after Shamia put that toy inside of Cynthia's panties and went to walk out. And Marlo said, did you wash your hands, Shamia?
Yeah, it's gross, man.
Gross.
It's like, you know, I know that we're like, oh, Ramona's gross for stepping in her own poop and then getting on top of a table. I'm like, where is the dog's butt and feet, man?
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
And then you touch it.
Oh, we've isolated a lot of our listeners, including Arthi. Arthi's going to come back very angry because she's got two dogs.
Arthi, we're not saying we're against. Well, I mean, I am, but Nora's not. But no, I'm just kidding. I'm afraid of dogs. I lead with fear with dogs. I know that. But I do feel like if I had a dog, I would wash my hands if I was preparing food.
Yeah.
Lisa Rinna rubbed that dog's belly and then went straight to like the food. Like, oh, no.
I know. Well, I mean, that could be a whole other episode, maybe on a Patreon about why dogs, why that shit is gross.
I want
they don't
title.
Know any better than to be kind of gross.
Yeah.
Just, you know, in their general being, dogs are not thinking about cleanliness.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Bear that in mind.
Yes. All right. Well, that's it for the stuff I wanted to talk about with Housewives this week. Now, we have a lot of rumors going around about the Real Housewives of New York.
Yeah.
Guys, I don't believe any of it. I don't believe Ramona's getting fired. I don't believe that the reunion is canceled. I don't believe any of the shit.
Why would they cancel it? Because Ramona couldn't come. Like Ramona. And then did you guys see that now they've thrown in Ebony wants Ramona, is demanding Ramona be demoted to a friend of? Interesting that I see a lot of people commenting on that. And I'm like, oh, y'all want to believe that.
Well, here's the other thing. A lot of this stuff is like retweeted from like Dumois or like reposted from Dumois. I could just post anything. I could be anonymous I could literally send anything and that person will repost it and that's it. Like that's the whole shtick is like you could literally say like, oh, I saw Ramona on a date with fucking Armie Hammer and they were both going to chow down on of Eva's leg together or something like that. And they would believe it. You know?
Yeah, it's like in the tabloids when they say sources say. Yeah. Well, who the hell are sources?
Yes.
Name the sources. Exactly.
Yeah. Like it's just too much. I'm like, I it really irritated me though when people were quick to believe, once again, like defending Ebony, but people were quick to say, who does she think she is? She's a newbie. And I was commenting to people. I was like, oh, it's telling that this is the part you believe.
Yeah,
because they're fucking stupid. If you pay attention and you've been listening to Ebony at all,
thank you.
According to her and Ramona are buddy-buddy.
Yes,
exactly.
They hang out off camera.
Yes. Yeah.
So like, why would she want her to be demoted?
Thank you.
Out of nowhere.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's stupid insane. People.
So yeah. Yes. Like, it's are so you guys watching a different show? Because that's
they're on a different like planet.
Yeah. You know what? Well, they see color, so that's their problem.
Yeah.
Oh well, guys, this was so much fun. I have to have both of you back on when Arthi's on because this was too fun, and I missed my girl. But thank you guys so much. Thank you, Taria. Thank you, Obi. This was amazing, I feel like
it really was. Yeah. I'm waiting a long time for this. Taria, I haven't seen you in forever, and I've been dying to be on The Reality Is. So this is a big day for me.
All right. Well, Obi, can you tell everybody where they can find you?
You can always find me on Instagram at Odd Black Individual, and you can find my podcast, Odd Black Individual, on all major podcasting platforms.
Thank you. And Taria, I'm going to put everybody's stuff in the description of this episode, but Taria, please do share where everybody can find you.
Well, first of all, Nora, thank you so much for having me as your co-host. I know how much your podcast means to you, so it makes me feel good that you thought of me to come on, so I appreciate it, and I love talking to Obi. You guys can find me on at WeGo, WEIGO podcast, and on Twitter, TSFAISON. Now look, don't come over there acting foolish, because I will act foolish with you.
Watch it.
Right, yeah. Watch it. And don't make me have to tag Obi, because then we're jumping you. Period. Yes.
That's right.
Yes, exactly.
Tag team in that ass.
Well, thanks everybody for listening. We will be back as usual on our Wednesday episode talking about Rojasos of Potomac, Married to Medicine, and Shaws of Sunset. Thanks everyone. Say bye.
Bye.
Bye.